ask that you anoint me afresh with your mercy. Anoint my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And I speak, I will do so as an oracle of God. And Lord, I will speak words of life. And Lord, life will go forth, Lord, to work upon the hearts of everyone that hears this word, whether they hear locally, myself included, or they hear it by electronic means later on. And wherever this word goes in all the earth, the power of God will follow after it to cause men not to be hearers only, but be doers of the same which they hear in the name of Jesus. They be blessed in all that they do in Jesus' name. I also ask you to help me to be concise, to be precise, so I will not waste time or say anything unnecessary, bringing forth from out of the treasury of your word things both old and new as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus. I also ask that I speak, Lord, your power and your presence will go forth to fill the atmosphere, to break every yoke, meet every need, causing, Lord, our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of the word, our wills to be more humble and submitted to your will, Lord, and our emotions to be tempered and controlled even further by the precious fruit of the Lord Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father in heaven, I come against every obstacle to this effective ministration of this word and effective receiving of the word, every contrary spirit, spirit of heaviness, every spirit of distraction and discord. I bind you. I cast you out of our midst. I break your influence over our hearts, our bodies and circumstances in the name of Jesus. And I minister fresh life, fresh mercy, fresh grace, that this word will go forth and will do the work in our hearts it has been sent to do. Thank you, Father, for giving me now the anointings of my fathers. I take upon their mantles, upon me. Let the word go forth as a river refreshing to all, but especially them, as they eat and drink of this vine they have planted. They will be satisfied with the travail of their souls. I thank you for doing exceeding abundantly above all we can imagine. Father, Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. The word which I believe the Lord showed me using types and shadows is a prophetic word, I believe, and it illustrates aptly, I believe, our present situation, reality of the truth for our nation, Nigeria. But in particular also, each and every one of us is going through the same experience, I believe, at this particular time. As we returned from Lagos last night, I was asking the Lord what he wanted me to share. And I believe that, you know, he began to speak to my heart and said, rest in the storm. And many of you, of course, recognize that particular phrase. Those of us who were here during the time we were fasting and praying for the nation before the election, we recognize that phrase, rest in a storm. When Mommy was here, she prophetically symbolized what would be going on in Nigeria during the next, I mean, after this election and, you know, in the immediate beyond thereafter. And it was during that time of fasting and prayer when she came here that afternoon. I think it was probably the last or the second to the last meeting. And she carried Grace Lois in her hand. And Grace Lois, she was wide awake. Mommy didn't know. She thought Grace Lois was asleep. And this young baby was carried in her arms, the arm of the prophet, and rested on the shoulders of the prophet. I think that's something for us also to learn from, amen? That's how you get rest in a storm. You rest upon the prophetic word, and God will bring you through that storm. But anyway, that was what happened then. So it wasn't until later she discovered that Grace Lois was actually awake all the time. She thought that the baby had fallen asleep. And that's how it's going to be. We'll be awake and wide, but we'll see the rest in the storm in the name of Jesus. Amen. I think this was the word that the Lord gave to me, I believe, yesterday as we were coming back from Lagos. And it's a prophetic symbolism, like I said. And, you know, it was like she was saying there would be storms in Nigeria, but in the midst of the storms in our land, there's going to be rest as we lean upon and put our confidence in the word of the Lord through the apostles and prophets that he has sent to us in this nation in particular, but of course not just Nigeria, but then to all the nations of the earth also. The kings he has set upon Zion is holy hill. And it's so interesting. I didn't plan it that way, but that's where we're going to start from. The same scripture we're using in the Bible study is exactly where we're going to be starting from. Give me Psalms 2. Very familiar scripture. Read it in the Bible study. I didn't plan it, but that's just how it came out to be. And it was where he started from. Psalms 2, and start from, we won't read it from the beginning. We'll start from verse 6. I'm trying to save a little time this time. Oh dear, here we are. Verse 6. Now, this is the psalmist speaking, and he's speaking prophetically. You know, and he says in verse 6, are we all there? Psalms, okay, yes. Says, yet, let's read it together now. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That word king there, and this is my Bible here, is not capitalized. But if you look at some Bibles, it's capitalized. But the essence is this, as a king on Zion's holy hill. Now here we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a king at that time. And if you read the next verse, it says, this day I've begotten thee, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But how many people know there are more than one king, like Lord Jesus Christ, after the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? The Bible says, we are a nation of what? Kings and priests. So this applies equally to kings upon the holy hill of Zion. And we all know, or should know, that Zion's holy hill, the first who's thereof, is to arise from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, where the rivers divide, our wonderful, blessed land of destiny and purpose called Nigeria. So God has set, and if you read it in the Amplified, give me this in the Amplified. Give me this in the Amplified. Yet have I anointed. So these are kings who have been anointed, and then they've been installed and placed firmly. And when God sets you, you cannot be upset. So when God puts his kings on Zion's holy hill, he anoints them with what? With the spirit of kingship, the spirit of the kingdom, the spirit of dominion, the spirit without measure. Amen? And then he sets and places them on his holy hill firmly, and nothing can shake them. Now, in this time, when God anoints and installs and places his kings, there's more than one, on his holy hill of Zion firmly, he says, now, when this is done, when we see this happen, we should now do what it says in verse 8. Give me verse 8. Ask of me. Let's read it together. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Now, before you inherit nations, you first have to inherit your nation. Can't you just jump and go out there? First, Jerusalem, then Judea, then to the uttermost part. So, what are we saying? We're saying that in this day, and we are in this time now, God has set his kings upon Zion's holy hill. Amen? And in that time, he said, you ask the nations for me, and I will give you that nation. To do what with? To rule. To take the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts to possess. And you will do what? Break them with a rod of iron. Dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Amen? We've been preaching that prayer for years now. Breaking, ruling, and discipling in this nation. The church in this nation. So, here we are. So the kings have been anointed and set upon holy hill. By extrapolation, the kings, these are Christ-like kings that he's raised up today, bearing the full measure of the Christ anointing. So in this day of their manifestation, or their begetting, if you want to use that, we can ask and take the heathen. That day is now. The Bible says very clearly in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8. Give me that scripture also, please. Ecclesiastes 4, 8. We're putting background behind what we're going to say. It says, where is it? Ecclesiastes 4:8. Thank you. Give me KJV. It says, where does it say? No, is it 4:8? Where it says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Is it 4:8 or 18? Find it for me, please. Is it this? Where is it? 8. Oh, 8:4. Forgive me. I read that for you. 8:4. Forgive me. Got my numbers right round. 8:4. Ah, thank you. God bless you. Thank you, my brother. Where the word of a king is. Hello, guys. Let's read together. Where? How do we want to be kings in Christ Jesus? Yeah. All right. So we're trying to ginger you up. Amen. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Blanket check. Just like the first king. So that day is now, folks. And on Wednesday, we said that the word of the Lord God through these prophetic and apostolic kings will be performed now in this day. There will be no more delay. I don't have people here on Wednesday. We brought out a scripture. I'm laying a background for something. We brought out a scripture from Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 25. Quickly, please. Ezekiel 12, 25. What has happened before is that we've spoken these words and then nothing happened. But not this day. Not this season. We have entered, we said on Wednesday, we have entered a new season. A season when we will enforce the dominion of God upon this land. Incidentally, upon your own life too. Amen? Because you two are part of the land. You know you're made out of the earth. But you're not of the earth. For I am the Lord. I will speak. How does God speak? How does God declare his word? Through his messengers, the prophets. I said, confirm the word of your servants and perform the counsel spoken by your messengers. So when he's saying, I will speak, he's talking about the word that comes through the apostolic prophetic leadership of the prophets and the apostles of God. He says, I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. As if he won't. Every word of God shall come to pass. It shall have the power. It shall be no more prolonged. Now, this is new. Now, God is saying that the word I'm going to speak in this day is no more going to take time. As it is being spoken, it is being performed. Says, it shall be no more prolonged. For your days, O rebellious house. Now, I said something on Wednesday, and I said about the Spirit, and I'll repeat it here. This is a day when the house of Israel is in rebellion. It is in that day that the word of the Lord will be spoken and I shall be performed immediately. Why? To shake up the rebellious house. Hello, somebody. I look at the church now. 90% of the church is playing games. Running after money, prosperity. I believe in prosperity, but that's not what God is doing now. What God is doing now is bringing his kingdom to bear upon the earth and his will to be done on earth, starting with Nigeria as it is in heaven. So he said, in this day of rebellious house, no, I will say the word through the prophets and apostles, you now understand, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Next verse. Again, confirmation. Double witness. Two is now God's number for witness. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, next verse. Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. And he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Not so anymore. Amen. Pastor used to tell us that in the beginning when the prophets were prophesying, it was years, it would take hundreds of years. Like for example, the word of the Lord concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ took, you know, 400 years. Was it 400 or 4,000 years? Anyway, next verse is where I'm going. Therefore, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore, but the word which I have spoken shall be done. And enough reason is, saith the Lord God. How many would say that this is a word of the Lord from the Lord? Serious word. God has said thus saith the Lord three times in one verse. Saying, in other words, don't you ever think that this word is not true. And we're in that season now. We are in that season now. As the Lord is speaking, it is being performed. And there's been a spectacular, two spectacular manifestations in this particular house. Now, we're not the only ones. But in this household, I can name two spectacular incidents that have proved this word is true. Right here on Tuesday of the election, when the president's election took place in total peace and harmony. With Pastor Riley and myself, we were watching on TV and everything, you know. I feel a little bad, you know. It's not what we thought, but how many of you know God is greater than man? Ah, Bible says your heart condemns you, but God is greater than your heart. So we came here that day and we prayed and we were speaking words here. Mommy was speaking. The very self same scriptures that mom was prophesying here. We didn't know. She didn't know. I didn't know. The very scriptures, the same exact scripture that mom said was speaking here as we were praying together were the same words that were being spoken in Aso Rock at the same time. And that's what caused Nigeria to be delivered from catastrophe. Same words, same scripture, spoken here and in Aso Rock online at the same time. Now tell me that is not a word that is spoken and is performed. Without those words, I don't believe in chance. I don't believe in luck. I believe in the word of the Lord and the manifestation of that word. As the word was being spoken here, somebody over there who had an ear to the heavens was declaring the same word, and that's what made the president of this country concede. Proven fact. We didn't know, but God knew. He spoke through the prophet, and the word was performed instantly online. Same thing here. We're praying here, and we're speaking peace to Nigeria. How many people remember? Was anybody here that day? Peace tonight, we're speaking peace. We found out later on that the gentleman, I choose to call him a gentleman, who tried to disrupt the election announcement results by calling, you know, making a fuss and trying to, you know, shake something up when they were doing the elections, was actually signaling the boys in the Niger Delta area. But before, God is amazing. Before we left this place for prayer that day, the man had apologized and had settled down. You think that was just chance? He just thought it would be a nice thing to apologize and tell us that he didn't mean what he was saying, that the youth should not rise up. No, sir. That was the performance of the word of God in real time, spoken and performed instantly. Amen. Folks, let me tell you, we're in a brand new season. Amen. I'm going graphic so you can understand where we're going. Then there's the witness of the all-pervading peace. In the presidential election, particularly, yes, we had some difficulties in the some pockets. Not even difficult; it was pockets of, you know, breakdown of the regular peace in one or two areas. But the election was peaceful. Those who came said, "This is wonderful. This is great, pervading peace, folks." What are we saying? The kings are set, anointed, and firmly set on Zion's holy hill. And they have spoken and said, Nigeria will have rest in the time of storm. And I believe the Lord showed me prophetically. Hello, Nigeria. Do you know you are Nigeria? I believe the Lord showed me prophetically this word. How we will continue to have this peace in the storm in Nigeria. God told me to compare two storms. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But before that, first of all, I want to understand that Nigeria or any other nation is only as strong as the church in that nation. How many people understand that? God rules in the earth through his church. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2. So you may find, first of all, supplication, petition, giving of thanks made for all men, and then kings and all those in authority. Why? So that we, the people of God, may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves, shall seek my face and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Whichever land by Nigeria is my wishes. Amen. Revelation 12:5. And she brought forth a man child who was to do what? Rule all nations. Starting with their nation. So, as the church in this land goes, so goes the entire nation. Amen? Do we understand? Do we believe that? Okay. Now, excuse me. So, in other words, you could say that what is going on in the nation is a playback of what's going on in the church. Amen? Because what takes place in the body of Christ in any nation, not in Nigeria, everywhere, is exactly what's going on. So, everything we see in Nigeria happening now is what is playing itself out from the church of God in Nigeria into it's not the reverse. The pastor said this many times, the politicians are the answer. The answer is in the church. If my people need. It's not if my politicians. I mean, God has politicians, but I mean, it is if my people. My people are the key to unlocking the treasure of this land. And now God has found himself with people. Give the Lord a clap of him, folks. Hallelujah. Amen. God has found himself with people in this land who will, like David, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself, do all of his will. And is now ready to exercise the fullness of his dominion, not just one day in a year, but every single day of the year, through the kings and those joined to them. Rest in a storm. Amen. Now, so, we just gave you an experience of, you know, the outplay of that, those forces in the presidential election that we just talked about. So, bearing all this in mind, let's now begin and, you know, compare these two storms. First of all, I wanted to start with a storm in Acts 27. Hello, somebody. Paul in the storm. Acts 27, start from verse 9. We're going to cut a lot of stuff out. How many of you know that Paul was in a storm? I don't have to go and read all that. But you go and read it at home if you haven't read it yet. Acts 27, let me try and get it, because I put some notations inside my Bible, which I want to share with us as we go along. Acts 27, start from verse 9, I believe. Yes, 27 in verse 9. Now, thank you. Is it 9? Yeah. Okay, verse 10. Thank you. Verse 10. This is Apostle Paul speaking. Now, this is the word of the Lord through the apostle. He says, sirs. And he said unto them, sirs, I perceive. How? They might have been fasting and praying. I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. So, both the ship and lives. Now, here is Paul in a ship. You can call it a ship of state if you want, or ship of whatever. It's about to sail for a destination, not a destination set by God, but according to the dictates of profit. Merchandise. They were going to sell. They had a whole cargo full of wheat. They were going to sell. Now, some of you say, well, God was taking Paul to Rome. I know. What I'm trying to get to you is that there's no way in this Bible that tells me that they asked the Lord, this Rome we are going to, how are we going to get there? It was a decision they made based upon what they normally would do. But here is a prophetic and apostolic word coming against what they would normally do. And saying, don't travel. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be loss. And it could involve your lives too. So, Apostle Paul here is a type of the prophetic apostolic father who brings the word of the Lord. Of all the people inside that ship that day, there was only one person who had true authority from God to save and to deliver. That was Paul. But they didn't consult him. Well, he was a prisoner. You could say he was a prisoner. But he gave them the word. Paul, it was the purpose of God in Paul's life that God wanted to fulfill that gave covering to everybody inside that ship. If Paul had not been there, I'm getting ahead of myself, all of them would have perished. So it was Paul was the anointed king. He was the anointed cherub that covereth, and it was God that set him there. So he brings the word, says this is going to be a costly trip, and it could involve lives and much damage. But there was a difference of opinion, as there usually is. There was the centurion was there. He had a different opinion. The boat owner, he owns the boat, he had a different view. Then the ship's master, the owner is not the same as the master. The master is the one that runs the ship. All had a different opinion from Paul. Different opinion. So there were many voices speaking. Babel. The weather. The weather hadn't come into play there. Well, after they left port. Wait. There was a babel of voices speaking. This one was talking, everyone was talking, blocking. But what the most important thing was that as the authority of the spiritual authority of God on the spot was speaking, there was also a babble of voices. What's happened today? the authority that God has placed the kings upon Zion, so we are speaking. But there's a babble of voices in the background that are deceiving people to follow them instead of follow the kings. That is what the situation is now. There were prisoners also there, I remember now. They were in bondage, so they couldn't even say anything. They had no mouth to talk. They were in bondage. Incidentally, Paul also was a prisoner. But Paul obtained favor. They released Paul so he could get care. And after that, they didn't put him in chains again. Who did that? God. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace. So here was Paul, a so-called prisoner of the Roman government, walking freely among the sheep. All the other prisoners were under the decks. Only Paul was free. Anyway, that's by the way. But the essence was here. There was differences of opinion. And so the louder voices prevailed. The greater number of voices prevailed. And so they set out. They overrode, they rejected Paul's counsel. Hello, Sammy. They rejected Paul's counsel, prevailing by might over what Paul had said. And this happens many times. When the voice that said Babylon has overridden the counsel of the true authority of the church, the prophetic fathers. It should not be so. When a father speaks, that is where the word of the king is power. Well, you need to give credence to what he's saying. But because people, the church, and also Nigeria, so used to doing things in their own way, the Babylonian way has been working, quote unquote, for them. When the real word now comes to shape up or ship out, they disregard it. That one cannot be God, I beg. And sometimes then league with the ruling powers in discarding the word of God. Anyway, that's by the way. So here we see, what we see is a mixed multitude of people. We see Paul. We see the centurion. We see the centurion soldiers who have been sent to look after Paul and the prisoners. We see the ship owner. We see the ship's master. We see the ship's crew along with Paul and his disciples. Amen. So when the word of the Lord came forth, there was a dichotomy, a divergence of opinions, and as it were, that word was not fulfilled as it should have been fulfilled. The word was discarded by all his fellow travelers with catastrophic results. Folks, what am I saying? When you hear the word of the prophet, take heed. It's not like that again, no? The days when you hear something in church and you say, okay, we will get to it by and by. Oh boy, you better start moving immediately. Instantaneous obedience. Any delay is disobedience. Nobody said amen. Am I not speaking to anybody here today? Bible says delayed obedience. Well, the Bible doesn't say, but that's what it implies. Delayed obedience is disobedience. It's the same category. So when the word goes forth, what do? You align with it, you key in. You may not be able to do everything perfectly, but start practicing. Start understanding that right from the day you hear that word, you're responsible for it. Anyway, so these guys disregarded the word. Now, what happened? This is amazing. I have read this so many times, but I've never seen it this way. Verse 27. Let's go to Acts 27, I think in verse 11. Excuse me. So this is, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious big enough, excuse me, to winter in, the more part, in other words, there was difference of opinion, but the majority, like I said, the majority won the vote against the word of the Lord that cannot return void. God forbid. Since when are the things of God by democracy? God speaks and you want to vote on what God said. Nonsense and rubbish. That word, that day is gone. As I say, come on. And the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete. Oh, they had all these great plans. They planned their way. Like it says in James, when you plan you're going today or tomorrow, he said, don't be so sure. Say, we will go there, we will make business, and we'll come back if the Lord permit. This one, God didn't even permit. But they went anyway. Because that's what they used to do. Now, I'm speaking prophetically. I'm trying to get across that we're in a new season, a new way of thinking and a new way of reacting to the word of the prophetic and the apostolic that comes, must come to pass in each individual lives. And it's only then and then that we can now begin to apply it to the nation as we ought. We'll see that in a minute. Help me, Lord. So, they started up. And of course, you know when you, when the devil has got you where he wants you, he just backs off. I got him. Gotcha. Look what happened. Next verse. Verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly. Be careful of the soft south wind blowing. I said so. You know how long teaching of why. God has opened the door. We see this wind that's just blowing. We're making great time. I'll be there on time. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, not God's purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Next verse 14. But you see, and it doesn't take long before the devil shows. See, the devil's not very patient. Once he's got you in that trap, he will spring the trap. He will not get you in the trap in Jesus' name. Once he has those rebels who rebel against the word, it will seem like that is just, there's a trap there. But once he sees that, yes, springs the trap. Look what happened. Verse 14. It says, but not long after they arose against a tempestuous called Euroclydon. And I put a cyclone in the Mediterranean. Where is a cyclone going to arise in the Mediterranean? A cyclone arises when there's great vast open oceans. Pacific, Atlantic, great oceans. Well, this one happened right in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. In Europe. That's our Bodo Europe there. And when the ship was caught, it could not bear within blubber and so on. Anyway, long things. Basically, what happened is that they ran into big trouble. Now, go to verse 20. Or let's go to verse 19. And the third day, I cast out devils and I do cures. The third day, I shall be perfect. This is not going to be perfected, though, but with loss. I'm going to lose. Maybe that will not be your portion. This scripture is amazing. I didn't even see that one before. We cast out the ones of tackling of the ship. Now, look at verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. Stop. Neither sun nor stars appeared in many days. What are the suns? What are the heavenly lights supposed to do? Hello, somebody. Prophetic now. Give me Genesis 1. Genesis 1:14. Quickly. Those lights were critical. We were watching a movie the other day. I can't remember. It was in pastor's house. And somebody was using a sextant. How do you know what a sextant is? Oh, dear. Okay. Anyway. I don't get to that. Look what the lights are for. Verse 14. These are the lights that were missing for many days. Verse 14. Genesis 1:14. And God said, let's read together. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. Verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them, the same way he set the kings, in the firmament of heaven to do what? To give light upon the earth. What are we saying? Pastor, we are just talking. I'll tell you what I'm saying. Prophetic language. They saw no more light to find their direction or to find out where they were. They were driving totally blind. Totally blind, both physically and spiritually. Because they needed those lights to find out where they are in relation to the stars. And there was no star. There was no sun. There was no star. Hello, somebody. They could not, thank you, Pastor Wally, they could not navigate. This light is representative of the wisdom of God that comes from the word of God through prophetic and apostolic fathers. Bible says the entrance of thy word gives what? Light. They were walking blind, totally blind, in the midst of a storm. Bible says in thy light we see light. There was no light, so they couldn't see anything. They were just going, they were going around in circles. They didn't know where they were. Because they couldn't see the light from the sun, the light from the moon, and the light from the stars that God had placed, had set in the heavens to give light on the earth. Do not be like them. You will not be like them in Jesus' name. You see, you have to pay heed to the light that God sends to you. God will send lights to you by the preaching of the prophetic and apostolic word. That word entering into your heart, or when you read it yourself, less so, because you see, when you read your own Bible, you read it in the light of the light that has been given you by prophetic and apostolic teachers. So that's what will now open up the word that you yourself read, so you can have wisdom and understanding and have direction concerning what's coming up. That's how it works. But if you neglect the word of God from the apostolic and prophetic fathers, God forbid the heavens are closed. Have mercy, Lord. So, this ship of state, because they rejected the word of the Lord, the heavens closed above them. And what happened was that the tempest of Euroclidon, the tempest of tribulation, prevailed so much so, verse 20. And then another sun or stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest. It wasn't a small thing. They were being buffeted right, left, right, and center. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Lost hope. You will not lose hope in Jesus' name. That's why we're preaching. You will not even get into this situation. We're saying these things. We're speaking thus, even though we believe better things of you. So all hope is gone. Many, 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 many in Nigeria, sadly, even in the church, have lost hope. Can Nigeria be saved? You know, sometimes when you read social media, I don't spend too much time. I don't have time anyway. I don't spend too much time. But sometimes, occasionally, I read a story and I go to the comments. You know, when you just scroll down to the comments and you see what people are saying. And sometimes you read things that get you very angry. That's why I don't do it. So I'm like, what nonsense? But you see, the point is that they are in darkness and in gloom. So they're only writing and making comments with respect to what they see, which is nothing. They can't see. So all this is gloom and doom. Nigeria is not worth saving. Let's split up to your tents, O Israel. Oh, Nigeria. You know, everybody take his own. When God made Nigeria for a purpose. Amen, united Nigeria. Amen. Not one. No. Indivisible Nigeria. Amen. 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 Say again, Pastor Wally. Thank you. Pastor Wally stole my thunder. Except you stay in the ship in perfect unity, nobody is going to be saved. I said, well, you stole my thunder. Okay, I forgive you. Hey, sometimes, you know, so they can only see the bad. They can't see the good that God is working out. Because they're not listening to prophetic and apostolic word. They're not listening to the word of the Father. They've completely disregarded. And they're Christians. Like you and I. So they don't believe in Nigeria. Even after God delivered us. Even after that great deliverance God wrought, people have to say, Nigeria, you watch and wait. There's a Daniel in the land. There's a prophetic apostolic people in the land. Ha! The kings are Zion's holy hill, and we will possess this land and the heathen for our inheritance. Amen. But God is gracious. Even in spite of all this, God is still gracious. Look what happened. Next verse. Verse 21. But after long abstinence. Paul, man was fasting and praying. Long abstinence. That's all it takes to get the word gone. Paul, people didn't say amen. Nobody said amen to abstinence. 22, you will fast again. As the Lord will. He read you. I'm not saying you will, but I'm just saying be ready. Long abstinence. When we did 42 days, everybody was like, wow. Long abstinence. That's what it gets. It takes to get the word of God done. To hear the word and to get it done. Amen. Okay, 21. Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss." And now, this is what God, again, the word of the Lord came through the apostle and the prophet. "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, saying, Fear not, Paul, that thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all, given thee all them that sail with thee." What would have happened to these guys if Paul had not been there, and if Paul had not been in long abstinence? Fasting and praying, waiting upon the Lord. While all this gloom and tempest was going on, only one person was in connection with the person that could deliver. Everybody was lamenting. That's where you know who are fathers. When the world is shaking like a leaf, this man just quiet down, fasting and prayer. So, and because of the purpose for the through the apostolic father, God gave him all the people. But hello, somebody, the storm still was going on. Do you know that the storm was not calmed? And there was significant, I want to just speed up a little bit of time. The storm was not calm, and there were significant losses. All the wheat, I told you, it went there because they had wheat in the store. They were going to sell the wheat in Rome. Everything went. The ship crashed. Hello, somebody. In Nigeria, too, in our lives, too, individually, which I've seen many storms come and go, which severely impacted upon ourselves, our economy, personal economies, because we didn't obey the word of the Lord. Yeah, so both personal and Nigerian corporate, because we refused to obey the word of the Lord that came. Because those in authority, both in the church and in government, disregard the word and the will of God, and have done what is expedient for them and expedient for their own profit. And when you do the same thing for profit only, this is the result you get. Thank God, God had raised up through the prayers of his apostles and prophets, succor to bring the inhabitants of the ship to the other side. But everything was lost. The only thing that was saved was life. God will save you. But who wants to go through a storm and lose everything and just be saved so as by fire? Your destiny, everything gone. God, it won't be your portion. But I'm painting a picture prophetically, graphically. You have a serious, solid destiny in God. Each and every one of you. Jesus says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, the thoughts of peace, to bring you to an expected end." Not a pajari means, what does pajari mean? Not an emergency ending. A set ending that God has set since before you were a twinkle in your mother and father's eye. And he's taking you there. But you see, you don't know the way. You have no clue. Unless the apostolic father speak. It is following after them, submitting to them, obeying their instructions, that will take you step by step along the road. He said, they don't know the way either. They're also following after. They're following the word of the Lord that they hear. Well, you can't hear that word yourself. You hear it through them. And you submit. And that's how you get to where you're going. Amen. Reminds of Elijah and Elisha. You keep following Elijah until you get the double portion. Say amen, somebody. So the point is, Paul, helping them. Oh dear. The point is, Paul, though he and his companions made it, it was with loss. And now we're talking about wrestling storm. And Paul himself, because they defied, can you see what? Look about Paul now. Paul himself, in that storm, could not rest. He was fasting and praying furiously. No rest. Because if he didn't do that, everybody was going to perish. Because God had given the word that this trip don't make it home. Because it's going to be with great loss and it could involve lives. So, the apostolic father went begging with God. Said, "God, give me the lives. Take the ship. take all the paraphernalia, just give me the lives. And God said, okay, take the lives. But everything else is gone. They should have obeyed me. May you keep obedience in Jesus' name. You will not allow a storm to come your way. You will obey prophetic apostolic word. And you folks, the thing I want to stress is that that word is no more being delayed. When it is spoken, it is performed. Please get it. Anyway, so Paul was in communion with God, but he was being battered by the storm because of the disobedience of others, because of the mixed multitude that refused to hear and obey the word. Don't be in the wrong company. Don't be in the midst of a multitude. But I said, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Amen. Which means that when there's multitude, usually there's evil. Why? Because that which is greatly esteemed among men is usually an abomination with God. QED. So, also notice that in this particular example, Paul, even though he was a prophet, the prophet and the apostle, did not have the full measure of the anointing of the Lord Jesus. But he was operating like all those initial early church fathers and apostles. They all operated under the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. That mantle was left on the earth for about 100 years, giving them time to grow and to inherit their own anointings. But how many people know they didn't? We'll see that as we continue on in this phrase. But Paul was even an exemplar because he went quite a long distance. The Bible says all the works of the apostles were wrought by him. But he was still under that borrowed anointing. So he didn't have the full. Amen. He even said it. He said, not as though I were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I have been apprehended of the Lord Jesus Christ. I forget the things of the past. I press on towards the mind. If he's pressing on, he hasn't gotten there yet. Do we understand all this? So the storm came with significant loss because of the attitude of the mixed multitude, the Babylonish voices we said that represents, and the fact that Paul himself was not, you know, at the fully developed stage like the Lord Jesus. Okay, so that's one storm. We saw the results of the shortcomings in that case. That will not be your portion. This next one will be your portion in Jesus' name. Now the storm which the Lord Jesus Christ were in with his disciples. Mark chapter 5, I believe. Yes, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. That's so, you know, we're going to close soon. Don't worry, Pastor. That's not going to take time today. Everyone's going to go home. Me too. Well, I'm not going home anyway, but I mean. Okay, the Lord Jesus had been preaching all day long. He had finished preaching, and, you know, he was now about to move out. So, verse 35. Mark 4, 35. Thank you. Let's read together. And the same day. What day is that? Day of the Lord. Third day. Anyway, forget that. When the evening was come, he said unto them, now this is the word of the Lord. Let us pass over unto the other side. Period. That's the word of the Lord. Now, I love this part. This scripture is a wonderful thing. Look at, before I say what I want to say, look at verse 36. And when they had sent away the all the dissenting voices that may have existed, Jesus checked them out. In Paul's case, they were on the ship with him. But this one, Jesus said, oh yeah, multitude. Sure. There are some there that were going to refuse to eat bread and fish. Or had already refused, self, Papa. There was something that was just there for look and see. They just wanted to see. They were not there for the word of the Lord. So when he spoke to the disciples, the first thing he said, look, all these multitudinous faces I'm seeing, check them out. Let them go their own. We will go our own. So, what happened? And so they took him even as he was in the ship. Now, there were also with him other little ships, but they were not in his ship. They were complying with him as he was traveling on that sea. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the Lord Jesus was inside a boat, him only, with his disciples. Big difference from Paul. So, now, in verse, wait a minute, verse 37. Now, how many people know that the devil will always attack the word of God? The Lord Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. The devil said, no, you won't. So he waited for them to get in the sea, on the ship. Waited for Jesus, who had been preaching all day, to feel sleepy and sleep off. The master had to rest. He was a man. He was not God. Yes. He was keeping the law of Moses. The law of hygiene, physical exercise, diet, and the law of rest. So he had rest before the storm. He had rest when the storm started. Why do we know? Because the Bible says, I think it's in Luke, one of the, as I said, the water had almost covered the ship. But Jesus comes soon, Lord, and he could lean in the back. The Lord Jesus wasn't perturbed at all. The word had gone forth. Let us go to the other side. And as soon as he spoke it, angels were there to perform it. Now, one man of God said to my hearing once, I can't remember where I heard, he said, if that storm had capsized the boat, they would have seen a submarine that day. That boat would have made it to the other side with Jesus and disciples. Underwater. Amen. They would have made sure. Because the word of God had gone forth and the word cannot return void. But it goes forth and it prospers in the thing whereunto it is sent. Would to God that we believed it. So, like I said, the devil comes in and attacks. Help me, Lord. I'm closing soon. And he attacks. And what happens? There's a big storm. And all this while, Jesus is at rest. Talk about rest in the middle of a storm. Isn't that something, folks? The boat you're in is... It won't be your boat in Jesus. The boat you're in with Jesus is capsizing. It's getting fuller and fuller. The water is just sloshing in. And here's Jesus in a pillow on the back, fast asleep, like nothing was going... Why? Rest. That's what we're going to experience in this day. All that you'll be at perfect rest, perfect peace. Peace be still. Not on the outside, inside. Inside! So all that stuff going on, your externalities, is of zero consequence. But the disciples, not so. They say, Ogbani Mansu, Ogamansu, Usuke. I'm at your campsite with. I'm sorry, I'm talking about, forgive me. Sometimes it just comes like that in a flash. They say, the master says, I see, what is this storm? It's impossible. No. We almost drowned. And I'm sure it was Peter that went. I can almost bet, I'm not a betting man. I can tell you, it's all very like Peter said, Oga, Master, carest not thou that we perish? They didn't say it was Peter, but I'm just saying, that's Peter's style. Before he did, he should have asked, this man is sleeping in his storm. How come he's sleeping and we are agitated? The man is a man like me. Oh, God gave me a word for you. Let me give you that word. Oh, she's a car. Yeah, so anyway, so he was said, Master, carest not that we perish? I wish we would all come to this day of total rest. May God grant us and our land total rest in Jesus' name. I'm telling you. He says, he was now in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They wake him and said to him, Master, care us not. The Bible says, and he arose and rebuked the wind. You know, he didn't warm up. He didn't look trouble the cap. So. Hey, care us not. The man woke from sleep to rebuking. One smooth motion. That's how kings should operate. No stress. Rest. And if there's a storm, we'll get rid of it. Peace! Be still! They said the wind ceased, the calm ceased, and the waves ceased. That's it, there was a great calm. Where did the great calm come from? Inside the master. That's why he wasn't agitated. He could feel the ship rocking now, but he said, what's inside is more than enough. We are going to the other side. But you see, the disciples didn't have that sure assurance. That blessed assurance was, Peter, sure. You know, bang. Look, folks, we got to grow up. Amen. We have to grow. No more children. being tossed to and fro by every wind of storm, but speaking the truth in all things, grow up into him which is the head. God is tired of his people being kicked around. That day's over. In the power of the will of God. Say, peace, be still. Great calm. What was the difference between Paul and Jesus? Several. One, first, the anointing without measure. That kingship anointing. Paul had it in a measure, but not in full. The Lord Jesus has full. The Lord Jesus had full. And he used it to the full. And it was an immediate, instantaneous answer. Paul had to go through the suffering of the loss, throwing the tackle, throwing the wheat over, kept on praying. Finally, all the people were delivered. Jesus said, peace, be still. Kings on Zion's holy hill. That's why you will ask for the heathen. And God will give you under the covering of kings. Ha! Kings rule. Number two. There was no mixed multitude of voices. He was in the company of only those disciples of his. Now, Paul too had his disciples on the ship. But the multitude of the other voices drowned out the voice of Paul and his disciples. But this one, nothing such. Only disciples and Christ. And disciples were submitted to him in their hearts, even if they were still afraid. They still were submitted to him. Amen? They submitted to the word. They got in the ship with him. Let us go to the other side. We're in the word. Oh, God, Lord Jesus, you will take it to the other side. God, we're going with you. We follow the word. God didn't come. And he submitted to him. Now, this is where I believe the Lord gave me a word for us. Contrary to what many people believe, when Jesus said, don't you have any faith? Most people believe what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying is that the disciples had no faith. But I believe that they did have faith. Why do I say this? Because if they didn't have faith, they would not have gone to Jesus and said, deliver us.
Yes, sir.
You don't go to somebody you don't have faith in and say, deliver me if you are faithless. So, they had faith. That was a master. We can't do this. You gotta deliver us. That's faith. Hello? Compare that to when Jesus was in Nazareth. If they didn't have faith in him, he could not do that mighty work. Or he would not do it as he should. It would not be a clear work. They must have had faith. Otherwise, their lack of faith and unbelief would have hindered the Lord Jesus. Just like they did in Nazareth. The Bible says, he could there do no mighty work except he healed a few folk. Full measure. But he could only heal a few folk because there was unbelief in the entire town. See, this is not Joseph's son. From whence has he all these marvelous? His mother not here with us. His sisters. But these guys, not so. The moment trouble started. Now, here's what I believe the Lord Jesus was attesting to. They had faith in the Lord Jesus and the anointing upon him to deliver. I've said that. But what I believe. Now, look at this. Help me. Rest with verse 40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He's not talking about faith in him. He's talking about faith for the apostles, the disciples, to do what Jesus did. Jesus expected them to calm the storm themselves. And not bother him. He was at rest. Get your own rest, boy. He wasn't, thank you, grow up. You're supposed to have done this. Why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? That it won't work and you look stupid. You know, sometimes we do the same thing too. The wife goes that way. You got the wisdom. Nobody said that before here. Well, sell all you have. Okay, let me go pray about it. Oh, thus saith the Lord, this is your wife or your husband. Okay, can I get back to you on that, please? Yeah, but all that thus saith the Lord, you went out the window. Because the obo has not happened. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. We get to that level now when God is in, that's it. And it's happened in this church before. When the prophets prompt on your part. You like? Of course, God is not going to force on you, but you know, when you hear thus saith the Lord, everything that comes after that, to me, is inviolable. If I cannot do it, I say, God, I accept it. I receive it. Help me to do it. Yeah. Now that I'll get back to you on that. Let me go pray about it. I'll be back to you maybe in a month or two, maybe 3 months' time. I'm just so. I'll share that, but alone. So, it was because God expected them to rebuild the sea and bring the calm without him. Amen? That's it. And he said, they said something that blew me mind. I'm going to release that. Oh, help me up. I'm going to release that to us. He said, verse 1. Now, instead of thanking God, they were afraid. And look what they said. And they feared, not small, exceedingly. And they said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they said, well, no boat you can have. I'm trying to humor. So, you know, you understand what I'm saying? This man, and he's in my boat. You know? That's what they were saying. What manner of man is this that even the waves and the sea obey, and he's here with us? Ah, Eturo. But you know what? What the Lord told me for us, He said, "The manner of man Jesus is the manner of man they were supposed to be, and the manner of man you and I are supposed to be." He came to show us the way, the example. Wind and waves should obey you. They will obey you. But you got to be like him. Be the man of man he is. And then every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that name on your lips. By the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. The man of man they were running from is the man of man they should have been running to become. So here's the thing. So I believe, by the grace of God, helping us to close, that we have entered that season now. The full measure is about to be poured out, or is being poured out as we speak, upon the kings on Zion's holy hill. We're going to see a manifestation in the church and beyond of the spirit without measure demonstrated by these kings. They will have the power to quench every storm. And they're going to do it from the vantage point of rest, not like the one Paul did. That was, you know, thank God for that. We're learning, we'll grow into, you know, out from that into what the Lord Jesus did. When Jesus was at rest in the storm, he must have known something was going on. Because I mean, the boat would be rocking and shipping away, but my disciples are there. I've given them the word, I've given them the power, and they can do it. So, these kings will now establish rest. Not only in themselves first, they will do that first, but they'll also establish it in themselves, and then they will now, through themselves, establish it in the nation, and then by the decree in the nations of the world. It's already happening. We've already seen it happen. We saw Obama. We've seen so many different things happen. We see what's going on in North Africa. All those things were established by the prophetic and apostolic word through the fathers. But they have the peace. They have the rest. Now, here's the good news for us. Isaiah 8:18. As I begin to close. Hallelujah. Yeah, I wrote here, unlike in the case of Apostle Paul, the sudden storms will not overcome these kings because these kings carry the rest in them and they release it like the Lord Jesus at will. So everywhere they go, there's rest. Even if there's a storm, peace be still. End of story. That's what's going to happen. Folks, you will tell me I said so. 8:18. Behold. Now, this is it. I love this. Behold. I am the kings. Wait. Let's read it again. Behold, I am the kings. You didn't get it, right? Behold, I am the kings. Oh, so it's children. So you don't have to be a king. So you are not a king yet. So you can't say, he didn't say I am the king. He said I and the children. Now let's finish. So how many of our children here for the Lord? Children to the fathers? Okay. Now I'm talking to you. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. And he tells you where he's sitting, who dwells in Mount Zion. Give the Lord a clap offering. You don't have to be a king before you do signs and wonders if you're under authority to the kings that are ruling and reigning in Mount Zion. That's it. So everybody can do, hello somebody. You can bring peace and rest to every storm in your life. You will if you do this. Under authority. That's why I say, I have set my kings on Zion's holy. Ask of me. Ki lefe. Say, even lefe. I give them to you. You want the uttermost parts of the earth? I give you. You want rest? I give you. You want peace? I give you. Under covering. So, this is it. You may not be a king or a prince yet, you will get there, but you can still reign and subdue every storm under cover. If your heart is joined to the kings that reign in Zion, Pastor tells about David, the Davidic company that has been brought together as we speak, said they will have one heart to make David king. Amen? And that's what we have to do. So, what do we do to do all this? Let's close. Well, number one, you have to identify these kings. How do you identify them? By the fruit of the Spirit. Rightly dividing the word of God, the fruit of the Spirit, there is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, all these wonderful spiritual forces. They'll be coming out of their lives regularly. You will not have to look for it. It will be present. It will be obvious. And this guy is patient. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. He's kind. That's how you know. And then the word that comes up says, rightly dividing the word. You must rightly divide the word. Amen? But the most, maybe I shouldn't have started there. The most important thing is humility. Then they will have dominion over personal circumstances. Proven dominion. Not that they're trying. They are ruling in their own circumstances. How can you rule another man's house? As the Bible says, it's except, you know, if I say in the book of Matthew, but, you know, when a man's, you know, a man's goods dwell in peace until he that is stronger than him comes and takes it from him. Amen? So what you have to get to a point where you are stronger than anything that the devil can throw against you, so he cannot take your peace from you. You hold on to that peace. You dominate your personal circumstances, your family, your life, your workplace. Everything is under subject. Subdued unto me. There's a psalm, there's one step in Psalms 18 that says, it is the Lord that subdues my people unto me. You have a relationship with the Lord, and because of your relationship with God, God subdues every storm around you. When you speak peace, we still God backs it up with his power, the angels. Amen? Then proven, demonstrated dominion and governmental authority. That means that the authority goes beyond their bedroom or their house or their lives. Now you can see it being played out upon a global stage or at least a national stage for beginning. But then you move from there to global stage. We've seen that here by the grace of God. And then what do you do? You submit to them. Obey their instructions. There's a lot I'm leaving out because of time. And you make sure you have one heart, one soul with them. As it's obey and submit. As it's obey those that have rule over you, for they watch out for you. So it says obey and submit. You can obey but not submit. But if you submit, you will obey. So the best thing is to do the submission. Amen? Learn of me, the Lord Jesus said. For I am meek and lowly heart, you find unto your soul. And then you perfect love God and get rid of fear. So the fear will not paralyze you when you're supposed to say, peace, be still, like the disciples. I said they greatly feared. God expected them to rule over those ways and they were afraid. You will not be like that in Jesus' name. So this is it, folks. So you come under the anointing as you follow, you will calm every storm in your personal life, then under the covering at first, the storms around you, and then through you, rest will dwell in the nation. Can you imagine if every single one of us here was at rest within all of our surroundings? Everywhere you go, you carry rest. Anywhere you go, the power is there to quench every storm. Just say, peace be still. I always tell people, I say, people come to me sometimes and Christmas this. And I just want to encourage you. People come and say, sometimes they pass me, well, come and pray for us. This, I said, no. I said, if I do that, I'm taking your control from you. There's some things I can pray about. This one, you should be able to overcome it by reason of time. Pray and let God speak to you and then speak to the storm. It will go. And then God says, ah, Pastor G, ah, thank you. The thing has gone. I said, well, you see, what people do is that they try and keep, you know, people coming. I mean, I have nothing to pray about. So I don't want people come and say, ah, Pastor G, this place, I put it in there, pray. If you don't, this is it. You know, but I mean, I'm trying to be humorous. Of course, if there's a reason, I'll pray. But I'm saying, let's all endeavor. Let's get rid of that fear. What if nothing happens? So, do it again. What if the storm is still on? Speak to it again. Be like Smith Wigglesworth. The man raised 14 people from the dead. And some of them didn't get raised the fourth time, or the second time, or the second, or the third time, or the fourth time, or the fifth time. But the guy refused to give up. And then they woke up. Hello, somebody. God is speaking to us. Peace in the midst of a storm. The Lord give us understanding. Let's talk to the Lord. I trust we all found a little bit in this today. The Lord is having mercy. Let's ask the Lord to help us peace in a storm, rest in a storm, both for ourselves and then also the people around us. I didn't know what's so long. Lord is good to us in this house. We thank God for the covering of our fathers. But ultimately, what will make our fathers glad? That is, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. The truth of the word, the apostolic and prophetic teachings of this house, the truth of instructions that God has given us through them. That's how we're going to get to where God is taking all of us to. So all of us will have an understanding of what and what we ought to do and do it so that what God wants to do in us first and then through us in this land and beyond, God will be able to accomplish. Thank God for all that we have already. See, and there's going to be more. This nation, by the grace and mercy of God, has been handed over to apostolic and prophetic fathers such as the Lord has put over. We're not the only one. Such as the Lord has put over us in this house. But we too need to gird up the loins of our heart and cooperate with them. God will give us faith. God is faithful. He will not let us down. Let's not let him down. Amen. Ask for mercy. Faithful God. Faithful God. Oh, sufficient. We worship you. Shalom Apeh.
Shalom Apeh.
How strong you are. We lift you high. Shalom Apeh. Shalom. let's respond to this faithful God, a hand upon our hearts. And one hand raised up to the Lord as an offering as we say these words, consecrating ourselves to being the kind of man that the Lord Himself is and was on the earth. An embodiment of rest. So when we say, peace be still, it is done. Say, Father, I confess our sins, so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word to me this afternoon, showing me the vital importance of being under subjection, under covering to apostolic, prophetic, spiritual fathers. I understand that in this new season, you have set your kings upon Zion's holy hill, and you have given us leave to ask you for the heathen for our inheritance and the uttermost parts of first ourselves and then our land Nigeria and the nations of the world for our inheritance. I understand this. So I come to consecrate and to rededicate myself afresh to Lord cultivating like the Lord Jesus rest inside of me so that Lord God in me will be rest in every storm. And by that rest that you cause to be created in me, as I humble myself under spiritual fathers, as I cast out fear by perfecting the love of God, using the blood, the word, and the spirit, by not company with a multitude of voices to do evil, but separating myself unto discipleship under the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that I too will be a man like him, that the waves and the wind will respond to as I speak peace and rest in every situation. Help me to dominate, first of all, my own physical body, so that I'll have rest in my body, and then rest through me in my physical surroundings, through me in the nation, through me in the nations of the world, expanding the borders of my peace daily, by the power of the Spirit and the Word. I consecrate, I rededicate myself to this. Thank you for moving on my behalf to bring me to this rest in every storm. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. Rambari biraka sari karumani, rambiri mosete salamuru, rambido shete karamaya ba, rambade serero sekere, mero sheto sombara pirendi, rese karalo beke bedara basa, rese baramu kubeke saka kuru kubeke zaman. In Jesus' name, amen.